see it.
Welcome to the Uncle Hack Podcast, where dudes pretty much just talk dude shit.
Woohoo! Woohoo! We are having so much fun, aren't you? Oh, boys and girls. Boys and girls. Cooler Scooter. I've pre-recorded these episodes. I'm on vacation right now. Hopefully I'm having a good time. Hopefully I'm hanging out. Hopefully I'm living a little, taking a little break. This is how hard I work for you people. And you just don't appreciate me. You can't share the podcast with your friends. You can't join the Patreon like a true fan. Oh, what am I ever gonna do? Prior to vacation, I sit here and I podcast for hours and hours on end. I work so hard, but these people won't give me their money. Oh, is that working? Oh, one day I'll figure out how to grift. But until then, I'm going to tempt you with a cooler scooter that is 49 cc's that has been sitting around and nobody claimed it. And you can win it by joining the Patreon, patreon.com/dangercats69, and get yourself in the draw. If you become a Danger Dong, that's right, a Danger Dong Patreon producer, you get two entries. If you just want to be a piss tank, one entry. July 7th and 8th in Edmonton, Alberta, I am with Uncle Laser and Jason Rouse. July 9th with Jason Rouse and Uncle Laser once again in Calgary, Alberta. Oh my Lord. August 26th in Edmonton, Alberta for a Danger Room with Brett Forte and Sam Walker. And also September 24th, I am in Vancouver once again with Sam Walker and Brett Forte. We are having fun today. That's the purpose of this episode, is not to be so doom and gloom, but also to have some fun with it. I have a few things that I need to clarify. I have a few things that I need to get off my chest that I have to talk about. I know I'm kind of exposing myself before anybody could get at me with it. Okay. That's what I'm doing. I'm getting ahead of the curve. That's how far ahead in the game I am, you know? Some people would be sitting back right now. They'd be on their heels. I'm on my toes. I'm talking in the future right now, Daddy. That's how fucking far ahead I am than everybody else. See, this right here, I'm on vacation in my real life. That's what I'm doing. I'm kicking my feet up, but because I'm so ahead of the game right now, because I'm the dog, the Don Perignon of podcasting, I'm already ahead of myself. And so we gotta address a few things. We'll get into that right away, but why? Why, gentlemen? Why? Why? Tell me why. What happened? What is going on out there? Okay? You know, I've like just small things in my personal life, you know. I'm doing things different now, you know. I went through the athletic stage. I went through the fucking drugs, the party, and the women. And then I get to 32 and it dissipates. I don't know what it is. And don't kid yourself, okay? I'm still capable of the fuckery that took place in the past. I'm still capable of it. Don't kid yourself, okay? Don't act like I can't self-destruct at any moment. You don't, this train isn't welded to the track, fellas, okay? It's just been smooth sailing for a minute here. Am I due for something? Possibly. I don't know. I don't know. But what I do know is, like, the more I go in public, the more I hate the public. And I shouldn't be like that, you know? I don't know what's come over me in the past. I don't come over me. More like, come on me. Anyways, I don't know. All right. You know, every now and then I go and dip my toes into the, you know, the scene, the bar scene, the ladies, go see what's going on there. I just like to go get a glimpse. And then I start talking to human beings and my head starts to hurt. It spins, you know, like I just like, I don't know what it is. Okay. I don't know if it's me. I don't know if it's me personally. Or it's the humans. I don't know what's changed. I know a bit of me has changed, okay? Because before, I used to be the annoying drunk in public. You know, I'd be Jimmy think he's having fun. And everybody probably around me wants to stab me in the mind. Totally understandable. You know, totally understandable. I get it now. I do. I have full recognition of how annoying drunks are, right? But it's fun. That's the thing, is it's fun. And I'm not sitting here trying to blade people or like be like, hey, I'm better than you because I know. No. I wish. See, that's the thing. I wish I still had that. I wish I still had that in me to go and just be flatline hammered. But I guess, and a part of that is like, when I was doing that, I was a little bit more incognito, you know. I'm not saying that I'm a fucking celebrity or anything along those lines, but it's I got a recognizable face over, you know, these past years of just doing shit on the internet. So then it's just like, the added level of embarrassment of when I decide to just go guns a-blazing, it like magnifies by 10. You know, it's easy when you get drilled in front of your buddies because it's your buddies that are going to fucking rip on you. You know, you might fuck up and strike out against some chick. And then I get fucking, you know, there's just fucking recordings. They catch you slipping. I'm lacking out in public, as the kids say, right? I'm lacking. The ops is lacking. Oh. Nothing like a little coffee to get my dick hard. That's what I mean. I'm slowly morphing into the adult version of myself, and I'm not quite ready for it, I don't think. I don't know. That's the thing of, like, deciding to hop on the internet in, like, my later adolescence, I guess. My years of like development now are starting to shine through. You know, I'm shedding the skin of a young man and evolving into this miserable old being. And as I get older and older and older, the grumpier I'll be. I want to be fucking yelling at kids on my lawn. I want to, you know, I want the excuse of dementia. So when I say a slur, I'll be like, oh yeah, you know, he's just going back to default settings. As you get older. You know, they just let racism slide, I think, at this point. Do you really care that much anymore? You know what I mean? Like, is it that? Here's the problem, though, with Canada. It's like, we just, like, when I say that we are behind the States by 3 years, I fucking mean it, okay? I fucking mean it. And this is why. Is because I know I say usually like five, like we're 3 to 5 years. And look at this. I'm exactly on point with this one. CBC News, the National, comes out with this. This segment report says police racism persists 3 years after George Floyd. You know, they're still hanging on to that. America's playbook already done. They've wrote that chapter. They're moving on, you know. Canada's the country that is just like, if we had any creative control on like the narrative of how the world is going to play out, it would be laughable. It would be laughable. We would be the Carlos Mencia of writing the world's script. We'd have to steal and prod and pry. America, though, America leading the charge when it comes to just dictating the future and how it's going to play out, you know, media-wise, however it may be. Canada sits around and waits like a spoiled rich kid to figure out where's the culture going? What shoes do I have to buy, right? We've never been, and even to the degree now where the government feels that it needs to step in and it needs to shape culture itself. You know, we can't even write a script on which way this fucking world is going to go in our little bubble, you know, inside our little fucking borders. It's how embarrassing this place is at times. And then they report on something like this. Report says police racism persists 3 years after George Floyd. We're still hanging on to George Floyd, for Christ's sakes. What's America up to? They're like, fucking, we're wrestling trannies out in the streets now. What are you guys doing? What are you guys doing? We're beyond the black thing right now. That was good. It was good. It kept everybody's minds off COVID. We got away with a lot more. Our surveillance got fucking upped, you know? There was a massive transfer of wealth that nobody in the public really truly understands with Big Pharma and how much money they actually made. Nobody has a goddamn clue. All we had to do was tell all these morons, a cop killed a black guy. Run it in the media. We're getting away with some shit today. And Canada's like, ooh, a news story from America? And they're doing a 3-year update. CBC doing a 3 years after George Floyd died, there's still racism in police. No shit. Well, what? You thought when everybody posted the black square, it all went away? It all disappeared? That the cops are going to stop just beating the shit out of every... And I know there's way too many patriots that listen to this shit right here. But I'm not a fan of the cops. I've never been a fan of the cops. And I'm from small, white Canada. Small town, white Canada, okay? When they don't have... They dial in. Pigs dial in on a certain group. That's what they do.
Oh, yeah. Well, these kids, troublemakers.
It is funny, though, that Canada up here. What was I going to write? It's like fucking back to blue. Nothing disappoints me more is when I bump into a danger cat. You know, I bump into one of you and it's like, hey, cops. Awesome. It's like, listen, half this audience drunk drives. What the fuck you mean, cops? Awesome. The law is, you've break the law constantly. And then what? Then it's like, well, back to blue. When? You're on the other side of the law, my friend. These laws apply to you. And a lot of these pigs get away with the same laws that they try to enforce because they're a part of the system. You know any cops I know that drunk drive? They get, hey, then they get heads ups. Hey, just letting you know I'm coming to the city. I had a few. All right, we'll make sure you get home.
You do that. Call the pigs. Tell them, hey, I had a few too many tonight.
And you just want to say, I backed the blue. I'm wondering if you could back me just getting home safely. I'm not getting out behind this wheel. See how that works out. Jesus Christ. Back the blue. Never in my life. This is a fucking slogan that heavy metal, heavy women, heavy drinking at the end. You don't think all three of those things together in a cauldron are going to not create a recipe that is for absolute destruction on society? Fucking fat women.
socially unacceptable at times. You get pushed to the edges of your friend group by being the chubby chaser sometimes. Sometimes, I'm just saying. But it's better to get laid than to whack off, like I always say. Or like Grandpa Black, you're passed down. Hey, what does it matter? Nobody asks you how... Listen, they don't say... Hold on, how do you phrase that? Let me get it together here. They never ask how they were scored. They just ask how many. That's what it was, you know? And take that as you will. I had a little sip of coffee on it, like I'm some sort of professor of knowledge. I'm the professor of knowledge here in Canada. Anyways, let's get into this. CBC, one of the most noble and outstanding news organizations of this century.
Those protests 3 years ago, born in fury, sparked by the death of this man, George Floyd, and the knee of this man, former Minneapolis police officer.
Pardon me?
This man, former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, now imprisoned for Floyd's murder.
Whoa. Go back.
By the death of this man, George Floyd, and the knee of this man, former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, now imprisoned for Floyd's murder.
Now, when I say that, CBC, leading the charge in journalism here in Canada, and the knee of this man... Did you have to put that in there? Who's writing for them? Jesus Christ. And the knee, that deadly knee that was on his neck for 6 minutes and just goes into it. The knee that drove into the esophagus of George Floyd and then the conspiracy. Well, he was on drugs. Hey, calm down, okay? Calm down. It's over. It's done with. Big George. Big George's knee. Or sorry, Derek's knee. My God. And the knee of this man. When the two met, the world collapsed. All during a pandemic.
Who can forget?
We found that the Minneapolis Police Department routinely uses excessive force.
Now a damning report after a two-year federal study of that city's police practices detailing broad, systemic, and blatantly racist use of force, deadly and otherwise.
MPD officers discharge firearms.
Now, when I say Canada is a very boring place, I mean it. We are dull. We're butter knife sharp up here, okay, when it comes to media. Entertainment, any of that. Well, our binoculars are set south more than you think to the American listeners. Now, what I mean by that is anything that happens up here, we just go, well, at least we're not America. That used to be a statement that we used to throw around quite a bit until, you know, we're now sitting in a time, it seems like, that we spent so much time monitoring the states and be like, well, at least we aren't America, that we're slowly evolving into a small America, minus all the freedoms that America has, which is deeply annoying, you know, deeply annoying and frustrating as a Canadian. It just eats me at my core because we sit here, you know, we love this idea that multiculturalism and, you know, being a melting pot, as they say, right? As all of our great political leaders in this country say, we're a melting pot, but at least we're not America. And we spent so much time saying that, at least we're not America, that we've always looked south. And brought their entertainment to us to be like, look at this, look at how bad it is down there. And we spent so much time trying to just detach ourselves from it that now we are just like welded together. The culture of America has seeped through here. You know, you see it in the streets. in terms of fashion, how we act, how we speak, the slang, it all slowly, slowly, slowly seeps into the country, right? And then politics, we like to sit here and act as if Canadian politics are the same as American politics.
Say, yeah, Jesus, with these Trump-style politics,
and that's insulting, for one. Okay, that's insulting, for one, to Trump-style actual politics, because look, the leader of the opposition, okay, of the Conservative Party in Canada, is nowhere near Trump-style politics. That would mean he would be respected by me. You know, here, Trump, roast battle champion, okay? The guy's a roast battle champion. Pierre is just a sarcastic nerd, you know? That's all he is. If you really analyze him, you know those kids that were in the classroom that got their ass kicked because they just couldn't refrain from just saying something smart ass to the jocks, right? And it's like, all right, well, the jocks can't beat you intellectually, so they're going to just beat you physically. That's what we're dealing with here. Trump, on the other hand, he doesn't get bullied in any aspect, you know? Like, when the military respects you, you kind of have, you have the jocks. It's two totally different things. And we love to just like compare them. Oh, well, he went into the House of Commons and started, he brought up things that are conspiracy theories about Trudeau being a pedo in a BC school system. Ah, that's Trump style's politics. It's like, no, he's just being a fucking sarcastic smartass. And anytime that you throw, you know, when you sling shit, you get shit slung back at you. And we just can't wrap our head around that sometimes because, oh, Canadians are nice. No, we're retarded. That's what we are. Retarded. But we're funny. You see? I'll shit on Canada forever because of the current state that we're in. Of just mass confusion. We don't, we look south to see what we should be arguing about. There's no like cultivating culture by the people itself. You know, the government's trying to dip its toes in and show like, ah, there can be a better way, you see. And we cling on to these like subjects like racism from the States and really try to enforce it up here as if our racism problem is as bad and is in the States. I don't understand that. Cause if I've spent many hours in bars, you know, And when we say that we're a melting pot, I will agree. I will agree with that statement 100% because there's just like, I don't know, every activity that I'm involved in, everything that I do, there's people of all cultures, all races, all religions. And I know this is like pandering at this point. I understand that, but it just doesn't seem to have the same, you know, same spice, same recipe that the States does. And we're really, really, really trying to push it, you know? And we just, we want that so badly up here. We just want that real problem of some sort of marginalization of a certain group. We really want to cultivate that here, you know? And it seems like we just have these two very minority groups that are just on both ends of the political spectrum, you know, when it comes to left-wing politics and right-wing politics and ideologies. There's just these small groups, you know, a vast majority of the country could give a shit about these
issues, right? They don't really apply to them because of reasons of having friends of different race or religion. And we just kind of like, whatever, that's what he gets up to. I leave him alone. He leaves me alone. We enjoy that. That's why we get along. We're friends because of that. But then there's like these, in the terms of the great leader, fringe minorities, and we're seeing them. And it's like the trans, and then these, I got to agree with Jeremy McKenzie here, the folks that are still like clinging on to the freedom fight, you know, this freedom fight that they believe they're involved in. And it's like a state of confusion of not realizing that the trucker convoy is not going to happen again. You know, it was the greatest moment of their lives. It was the high school party that they dreamed of being at. They finally got invited to the high school party. In fact, there was no invitation needed. Just show up. And it was a wonderful time of people gathering, music, food. There was drinks and party and fireworks. You had everybody down there. And it was like a rebel against the state by just having a block party. And I have to agree with that. It was the most creative, fun way to say fuck you back to the government in protest against, you know, this overreach that was taking place with mandates and forced vaccinations by slowly trying to implement an app into your life just to, so you can go get deep fried chicken wings and a draft beer at Boston Pizza, you know. It was something like that. It was people together fucking partying for a cause, you know, and they got painted. It was like the bad kids. Remember when you're like, oh, you can't hang out with Johnny because he's a bad boy. Johnny's a bad boy. He gets up to no good. He drinks beer and he's 16, man. And you got to be Johnny for a moment. You got to feel that, you know. And right now, it's like the fight is against indoctrination of the school system with this like sexualization of children. And right now, it's like a lot of people are just like, fuck, man. Fuck, I don't even know. I don't care. And these folks are like the freedom fighters. And like, I hate to say it, man, but if you watch the videos and then like... You watch the videos. If you last week's Patreon episode, we went through and like the people that are involved there are just like, it's, I don't even know how to describe them. If they're like a stand-in character from the Trailer Park Boys, just a background character at this point. That's freedom fighting in Canada, you know? It's But when you're deciding to have a fuck Trudeau party in a Canadian Tire parking lot, what? The level of stupidity. You know, it's even like the adults that are quote unquote a part of the queer community, right? That are outside of the high schools waving their flags at the kids. It's like, that's a bit odd, isn't it? That's a bit odd. What are you doing out here? You're an adult. If you want change, here's the thing. It's like change isn't just going to happen. I don't know how people can't understand that change is not going to happen because you wrote on a fucking sign and stand outside of a high school. You know? Sure, it puts the school board's feet to the flame a little bit, but that flame is like no more than a tea light candle, you know? It's not causing any major burns. It may be a little discomfort, but if you kick your feet hard enough, that flame goes out. And it's depressing to know that we could care less as humans about the direction of like, where the youth is going, because this really does play a big part in it, and I'm not saying what these people are doing is wrong. I just find it extremely odd by standing outside of the school,
right? And yelling at the bricks, you know, because you're banned from the Canadian Tire parking lot. You have to find a new structure to yell at. Hold your sign up and show, hey, hey, ho, ho, these faggots gotta go. And then on the other side, you got a furry in a, on a dog leash getting barking at who's ever on the megaphone that day. You know, it's just an absurd amount of noise that's taking place outside of the high school. Like you as a child, think of yourself in high school. If you walked through the front doors of your high school and there was a bunch of lunatic fucking adults outside there, would you think to yourself as a student, right? And I'm not talking one of these kids that are like, you know, that are really leaning into this whatever culture of this gay stuff. I don't even want to call it gay. It is gay in that sense, but it's just like made up theories out of thin air to like almost confuse the youth. Here's what I believe, okay? If you're able to confuse the youth at such a young age, by the time they're adults, you're able to just, you know, it's like the breakdown of a soldier in a way. And then you build it however you want, you know? By doing this, it's almost like we're setting ourselves up in the future that these people can be easily manipulated and like massage, or any powers that be can massage whatever they want inside their brain. That's what it seems like. It seems like a setup, you know, like something down the pipeline is going to be much bigger. I think like the whole transhumanism is going to be, because you put that word in front of it and be like, listen, well, and the acceptance of like whatever ideology that you believe in, or whatever gender ideology you believe in, it starts to make sense when that comes down the road, and then it becomes easier to mix people with computers, and then you got a chip in your brain. We've all seen what happens. I mean, Christ Almighty, the Chinese are all over this goddamn country, you know? And I don't mean like in a physical sense, they are as well, but I mean like they have dug their claws in. And think how easy it would be if we can hack bank accounts and government agencies, how easy would it be to hack a human? You know, what's your thoughts looking like? You get it now, instead of just seeing like what's your online activity look like, you get a deep look inside this person's mind, how they think, which is kind of scary, because we are like a surveillance distraction, like dystopia. You know, we love monitoring people, even ourselves as people love to monitor people. And it just goes all the way up to government agencies, you know, and they keep a nice, tight, close eye on us to make sure that we're behaving right. You don't want to get too crazy online. You start saying some crazy shit online, all of a sudden CSIS is at your front door, or the FBI or CIA knock and be like, hey, come with me, you know, come with me. Let's see what else are you up to. All right. We got to take a little deep dive. You can't be going around threatening the prime minister on Twitter. It was just a joke, man. Yeah, well, we don't take it as a joke. Now, instead of that, you just take a little all you do, punch a few keys, boom, you're taking a look inside this guy's mind. You're like, oh, wow, Jesus Christ. What the hell is he doing? He puts mustard on pancakes and he thinks that this is a good idea? Arrest this man. In fact, they just hit a button. Phew, zap your skull. You're dead. Over. We don't need this one anymore. We'll just create a new one to go work at the Amazon factory. Kiss my ass.
Arms at people without assessing whether the person presents any threat, let alone a threat that would justify deadly force. We also found that MPD officers routinely disregard the safety of people in their custody. Our review found numerous incidents in which MPD officers responded to a person's statement that they could not breathe with a version of, you can breathe, you're talking right now. the patterns and practices we observed made what happened to George Floyd possible.
It echoes years of complaints by the Minneapolis community. And while some policing changes have already been made there, the city has now agreed on federal oversight to ensure more follow.
We will change the narrative around policing in this city.
Say critics, the bigger problem is that racially motivated police brutality in the U.S. continues far beyond just Minneapolis.
Why we say the whole damn system is guilty as hell. We need a revolution and we need actual change. Because
you hear that? Oops. We don't need CBC the National. You want to watch the whole news with me today? Anyways, like I was talking about, I got something that I need to address. All right. Okay. We got to get it off the chest. I'm getting to it before anybody else can sting me on this. And it's this article right here from the BBC. Okay. How a dose of MDMA transformed a white supremacist. This is difficult for me to talk about. Okay. This is an article by Rachel Neuer. I wasn't going to come public about this, but you know what? We're just going to read this. Brendan was once a leader in the U.S. white nationalist movement. But when he took the drug MDMA in a scientific study, it would radically change his extremist beliefs. To the surprise of everybody involved, Rachel Neuer investigates what happened. I want to say one thing. I'm sorry I disappointed all of you, okay? It was an experiment. I didn't know what I was getting involved in. This is a new wave of MK Ultra in a way. Instead of just force feeding acid into the patients that they were studying on trying to control their minds, they have now erased a core piece of my identity. And I will be suing the U.S. Drug company, or the University of Chicago, sorry. Because it took years. That was years of work. I put my life on the line in times, you know? In February 2020, Harriet DeWitt, a professor of psychiatry and behavioral science at the University of Chicago, was running an experiment on whether the drug MDMA increased the pleasantness of social touch in healthy volunteers. See, I once was a healthy volunteer. I didn't really get paid for white nationalism in the U.S. You know, during COVID, it was tough. It was very tough. And I was approached. They were like, hey, would you like to take experimental drugs? I'm like, I guess. I don't know. Not much going on right now. I'm in lockdown. So they're like, why don't you swing by? We're going to dose you up. We're just going to watch you. How does that sound? Yeah, that's great. Where do I need to bring like a sleeping bag or anything? I'm like, no. We got you. Okay, fine. The day was proceeding like any other Tuesday with Mike Bremer. DeWitt's research assistant appeared at her office door with a concerned look on his face. The latest participant in the double-blind trial, a man named Brendan, had filled out a standard questionnaire at the end. Strangely, at the bottom of the form, Brendan had written in bold letters, "This experience has helped me sort out a debilitating personal issue. Google my name. I now know what I need to do." Seeing this cryptic message, both Bremer and DeWitt were worried. "We really have to look into this," DeWitt said. They Googled Brendan's name and up popped a disturbing revelation until just a couple months before, Brendan had been a leader of the U.S. Midwest faction of Identity and Evropa, a notorious white nationalist group rebranded in 2019 as the American Identity Movement. 2 months earlier, activists at Chicago Anti-Fascist Action had exposed Brendan's identity and he had lost his job. It was rather difficult, you know. I fell on some hard financial times. My family was disappointed that it came to that point. You know, it's tough to lose your job, right? It's tough to lose your job. It's rather difficult. And some people, they can't handle that kind of heat. But for me, I knew what I had to do. I had to get the boys together and go march. I had sheds full of tiki torches. You know, what am I going to do with them? I still have the shed full of tiki torches. I can't just go out and put it on Facebook Marketplace. Everybody's going to think I'm still that. So I'm in a rather difficult situation. This is why I'm pandering to the audience at times. And I'm trying to, you know, reevaluate myself. I'm doing it in real time in front of you. You know, some of you have been around for the first videos that ever struck the web. And what was it? What would be a word to describe those events that unfolded during that time? You know, it was the curiosity was spiked. Maybe that was it. You know, they're like, what is this guy up to? And then I get branded with the name, you Nazi. I've been called a Nazi. And it's like, well, my branding isn't that good. You know, when I die, do you think that people are still going to be talking about, danger cats in that sense of the same way that they talk about the Nazis? I don't like to believe so. I mean, shit. If that's the case, then somebody in my family is going to be getting some royalties. That's for sure. You know, DeWitt was now very worried. She had just given a drug to a disgraced white supremacist, she realized, and had apparently inspired him to do who knows what out in the world. Go ask him what he means by, I now know what I need to do, she instructed Bremer. If it's a matter of him picking up an automatic rifle or something, we have to intervene. Calm down. All right. Calm down. A murderous spree turned out to be the opposite of what Brendan had in mind. As he clarified to Bremer, love is what he had just realized he had to do. Love is the most important thing. They're like, oh, Jesus, I didn't know Hack was gay. He told the baffled research assistant, nothing matters without love. When DeWitt recounted this story to me nearly 2 years after the fact, she still could barely believe it. Isn't that amazing? It's what everyone says about this damn drug, that it makes people feel love. To think that a drug could change somebody's belief and thoughts without any expectations is mind-boggling. How long before you think that they just start putting MDMA in the water supply? You know, like they did to that town in Italy back in the day. What were they putting in there? They put some sort of drug in the water and it really affected the community. Did it go violent? I can't remember. It was part of the MK Ultra assignment or operation that they had. I think they were putting acid in the water over there to see if they could control the minds of people in Italy. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe there is an operation of some sort that took place. I don't know if it was in Italy, but I know it was somewhere over there. And oh, and you know, were they able to control the minds of those folks? I'm not quite sure, but it is. It's difficult for me to talk about this right now, you know? It's difficult for me to bring this up. I can't just openly, just willy-nilly jump around and scream and yell, you know? Years of my work all thrown out the window because some idiot in Chicago wanted to give me some fucking drug. I can't believe it, you know? A life's work and friendships that I've built on the hatred of Jews. You know, now all of a sudden I'm hanging around him. I got Nick McQuick as a friend now, you know, who is he's about as Jewish as they get around me. Other comedians, I'm able to hang around comedians. I spent all this time, you know, all this time. And as many of you know, I really broke into stand-up comedy and into right around like 2020, right before the pandemic happened. And all of a sudden they stripped that away from me and they present something like this. Like, how would you like to do MDMA? I was like, yeah, I was kicking my feet up anyways. I was probably just going to drink my face off, play GoldenEye on N64 or some shit, and have myself a grand old time. But instead, now they just changed my whole world view. And it's difficult. It's hard to adapt to, you know, a life like this. It is. After spending so many years, you know, like so many years. I used to have fun. I go light a cross on fire. Yell and scream about black people that didn't even exist in the town that I was residing in. There was none around me. What am I supposed to do here now? And now I'm lost. Now I'm grifting on the internet. Ah, oh, I used to be a somebody, you know? I feel like one of those old guys that sit in your local tavern, you know, those guys that really peaked in the 80s or whenever they're like, their sporting careers died off, which is usually like 21 up here. You know, you go play junior hockey, doesn't go anywhere. So you just resort to drinking in the local town. You don't leave the town. That would be too easy to go and find a life of substance, a life worth living in a different location. And to try to, you know, motivate yourself to go out there and really grab the world by the balls. That would involve getting up off your ass. And I don't blame people for not wanting to do that. You know, you feel like you accomplished everything up until the age of 21. So now it's just it's time to put 60 years at some job that's going to sit there and wait and hope for you to die. So that way somebody with more motivation can come in and get the job done. You know, just go put those years in so you can get some bullshit desk job that you come in, sip coffee, talk to customers all day. That's what we all dream of. That's the small town dream. You go put your years in, maybe be a part owner in this business that some guy opened back in the 60s. He's going to die. You were next in line. He has no, his son's useless. His son's a retard. You know, you don't want nothing. You don't want that guy running your business. And you were like the son he never had. Because you devoted all your days to this business that this man created back in the day, and you get it passed down to you, and the son is envious because you had work ethic. And then you just get to mail it home by sitting behind a desk and enjoying the last years of your life. But instead, not instead, instead of going out and seeing what the world has to offer. Why would you want to do that? That would be stupid, you know? And that's how I'm feeling right now. I'm being stripped of everything that I worked ever so hard for because some professor, you know, and for, like, hold on, like a murderous spree? Come on. You think I would pick up the weapon? No. Not one bit. I'm not about to go shoot up a shopping mall, okay? Now, usually I would say something racist right here, but I'm a reformed man from doing a fucking rave drug, you know? Now I'm over here, I'm driving down the highway and I'm listening to fucking Deadmau5, you know? I used to listen to like Nazi fucking punk rock. Now I'm over here listening to Dua Lipa. I'm levitating. My sugar bomb. Ba-da-da-da. Yeah. I'm doing shit like that. So it's a totally different world for me right now. It's like when you see those blind or those colorblind guys and they get the glasses and they can see color again. I took the glasses off and I don't see color. That's what that is. I did the opposite. My world is just, it's grayscale. I don't even know who's who, what's what, you know? Asians, we won't go down that road.
Gay!
difficult. It's tough for me to talk about. I know. I know many of you are probably sitting here thinking to yourselves, like, Hack, let it go, man. It's all good. It's all good. We understand. We get it. You spent all those years, you know, you built Danger Cats up to what it, I know they're that de facto fucking gay, you know, kind of SIG bullshit. You know, the names that they come up with, not as cool. Danger Cats, sick name. I know I've said it's pretty gay. It is a gay name. If you think about it, it is super fucking gay, but it's so funny at the same time. Danger Cats. It's one of those names that you hear and be like, I can't take that seriously. And I think that's, obviously this isn't me. Okay. Obviously it isn't me. Because I wouldn't do MDMA like some fucking hippie. All right? Do I look like I'm going to go to Shambhala? Do I look like that to you? Huh? Do I look like I'm going to go eat mushrooms in a forest and talk about fucking astrology with strangers? And compare signs and how we're compatible? No. You see me walking around with crystals around my neck? Drinking fucking goat piss? Because the nutrients in it are high? No, you don't, okay? You don't. You don't see that. Because I have a respectful position in life right now that I don't need to resort to some fantasy horse shit made up in the early ages of civilization. Okay? I'm not about to sit here and start fucking spewing horoscopes. Maybe I need to. Maybe I got to shift this audience over to something like that. Maybe. Now the entrepreneur side of my brain is starting to kick in and be like, listen, women are easy to convince, you know, they'll gladly sign up to the Patreon if I'm talking about their horoscopes and what it means, right? I'll just grift in that sense. I'll be the fucking ramen shaman or whatever you want to call me. Just eating a cup of noodles, talking about astrology. No one needs to happen. Okay, we'll get rid of this article. No one needs to happen here. We're going to end on this, a quick little riff on this. This is something that needs to happen right quick. It's people that are eating on like lives. You know what I mean? I enjoy watching people doing their little TikTok lives because it's like a look into this person and how they are, you know, just sitting there reading a chat, you know. It fascinates me that we are so involved with our phone now that we feel the need to show the world how boring we are as individuals. You know, how many people you see that just sit on their phone in their bedroom weekdays, weeknights, weekends, weeknights, you know, or weekend nights, and they just sit there listening to music, putting on makeup just to take it off. My favorite is when you're at like a house party and everybody, there's like 6-7 people gathered around the phone and they're all staring into the phone together. It's so disturbing. It's so disturbing. You were in a house full of people and everybody feels the need to sit there and huddle around the phone and read the comments so we can get, so, like we're being judged in real time and we're being judged by these people with fake profiles calling us gay, and then you want to get into arguments with one another through a fucking text box, you know? And it fascinates me because that's where we're at. That's the level of like, almost, I want to say almost narcissism. That's the level of narcissism that we exist in right now, that we feel that our lives are so important that this reality show that we think that we have needs to be broadcasted to the world. I'm a fan of it. Don't get me wrong, because nothing I love more than watching morons on a screen, you know? I'm a huge fan. It draws me in. It sucks me in. It gets my attention every single time. And I understand, like, I'm no better. I'm no better than these humans. Don't get me wrong. I am not better than them. Because I am on the other side of the screen. I'm part of the text box. Trying to get these guys to say weird shit. Trying to dupe them into saying a slur. You know? get them on screen record, send it to their boss. Be like, listen, this is what your guy gets up to on the weekend. You proud of that? You happy about that? But it is, there is one thing that people do on these lives that just irritate the hell out of me. It's like they live stream themselves eating, and not like a mukbang or anything like that. Nothing impressive. It's just them eating their dinner, them eating their lunch, them eating their breakfast. There's like this need that, oh, I'm alone, but I won't feel alone. I don't have to eat alone if I just eat on a fucking TikTok live. That's the level of pathetic that we're at now, is that we can't just enjoy a meal by ourselves. You can't just look around. There's nothing I love more than going out and eating by myself. It is so peaceful. I don't have to talk to anybody. I enjoy the food. I sit around. I check the phone. I watch the sports that they got on TV. You know, I can get up and leave when I'd like. I can have a drink. I can do whatever. I'm not beholden to somebody sitting across the table. You know, it's an enjoying time for me to sit there and just enjoy a meal by myself. And I've never once thought to myself while I'm out in public, you know what needs to know who needs to see this? The small TikTok following that I have. You know, I'm glad I was not wired that way and I didn't get duped into thinking that this is the path. This is what I need to do. I need to live stream on TikTok anytime that I'm eating by myself. So that way I can feel any sort of love, existence, some sort of, I don't know, meaning, I guess, some sort of meaning in life. Deeply embarrassing. I feel bad for those folks out there. Well, folks, I know I'm cutting a little short here. I know I'm dipping out a little early, but we appreciate you. I'm supposed to go meet my father for lunch. We're going to have a bite to eat. So take care out there.